unusual location. We're sitting outside today, out of the typical tiny office that J.P. Gadorin has rigged up for us. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm with Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers.
I'm the guy who rigs up that tiny office. I'm J.P. Gadorin with Tamarin Cable Sports Channel. What's up, dog?
It's nice to be able to breathe the real air out here, don't you think?
It's cold still, but it's
not
fresh
cold. Air. People complain about the cold. Are you kidding me? Because it's not 85 degrees.
There was a record low this morning. What else do you need?
I know, 51 degrees I think I saw. Is that what it was?
Yes, in Milwaukee, and it was even colder out in the suburbs.
The coldest Summerfest, second coldest Summerfest on record behind the year I was born, 1980.
Fine, just keep dodging the facts.
It's not cold, though. It's comfortable. I mean, there's a summer gets so hot. I don't know why people are complaining about it being just nice and normal. I love it.
It's fine.
We just spent a lot of time talking about the weather on our podcast. We're officially in small talk territory.
That's the kind of relationship we have. It's okay.
It really is. It really is.
So how close we are.
Yes. sitting on my front porch here talking prep sports. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Bucks. They got a big free agent signing in Greg Monroe. We'll touch on that a little bit. We got to get back to your golf game because you've now golfed both major golf courses in the state of Wisconsin. We got to do a little compare contrast. And I wanted to talk a little bit about football. We are a month away from football practice opening up. How do you feel about that? You love football.
If we're going to talk about summer and nice weather, then high school football starting means that our summers are over.
That's right. That's true. That's true. It gets a little bit busy once the fall season starts. But football is kind of a big landmark on the prep calendar. That's kind of the thing everybody looks forward to. But interesting story that we ran in our papers. You can read this at lakecountrynow.com. My colleague Evan Frank's column this week called Frank Remarks. The puns are strong with us. he wrote a column about the Oconomowoc Youth Football Association, the OYF. They are a pretty big organization, part of the AAYFL, which is very popular in this part of the state. They had a relationship with Oconomowoc High School. It was a pretty good one. Oconomowoc High School just opened a brand new facility last year called it was part of a project called Athletic Fields Forever. Huge multi-million-dollar project, remodeled all their outdoor athletic facilities, blah, blah, blah. And the youth football organization donated a good chunk of change to make that whole thing happen. So they've been playing their seventh and eighth grade games at Oconomowoc High School. In conversations this year to get the schedule set up, it was revealed that Oconomowoc High School had some new stipulations for them to continue doing that. One was they wanted them to stop using their PA system. There were a couple small things, but the big one was they wanted them to start phasing out tackle football for grades 5 and 6, 5th grade pretty much immediately, and 6th grade in 2017. So, or by 2017. So that meant that they would have to basically shed either make it flag football or shed those kids from the program, which they probably wouldn't do. They probably would have a flag equivalent, or they wouldn't be able to use the stadium anymore. So the reasons for that are safety concerns, concussions, big issue right now in football at all levels is the idea of concussions and the long-term impact. And they said that one thing that they've been Scott Reduca, the athletic director, one thing they've been talking about is maybe getting rid of tackle football at the younger levels when the brain is still developing. So on one hand, that makes some sense. On the other, they've got a long-standing tradition of playing fifth and sixth grade football. A lot of parents interested.
It's football.
Yeah, so people very passionate about both sides of the issue, as you can imagine. So I was curious what you thought of that. There's some signs to me in the NFL and otherwise that the game of football is facing this. This is a very real threat now. This isn't just a passing thing. Concussions are a big deal. This is the first Lake Country organization to do something like this. What is your take on that? Do you think that's too proactive, or do you think that makes some sense?
Yeah, I really, really want to be angry at this, but when it's just fifth and sixth grade, I'm not that mad about it.
Okay.
I think those kids can still play the game more or less the way it's intended to be played, and they can still develop their skills. They can still develop knowledge of the game before then, once they're a little bit older and able to control their bodies more and know what they're doing, that then they can get into tackle. If they were going to ban it for all of elementary school, I'd probably have a problem with that. Then all of a sudden you get to high school football and you start hitting for the first time, and that's a little weird. But so I don't have that big of a problem with it. I can obviously relate it to my own life. And with hockey, when we were growing up, you're not allowed to check until sixth grade. Before that, there's no checking. You're obviously able to make contact, but there's no body checking allowed. And that was fine with us. And even when I was in sixth grade, I was still, I was tiny. I was terrified to hit in sixth grade. So I think for a lot of players, this probably isn't a big deal at all.
You were not the enforcer on your sixth grade hockey team?
Even up until senior of high school, I would hit guys and then bounce off. Like, I could totally see that. And I would be the one that would fall down.
You're definitely not the enforcer.
But if I won the puck, it doesn't matter.
That's true. That's true. If you were able to bounce the puck to a teammate or something.
Yeah, I usually did.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I think I lean more toward appreciating the point of view of the high school. And I get that the Youth Federation has a lot of parents that are interested in this. But I just think we're kind of at a time now where somebody's got to be proactive about it and say, I mean, we've seen Chris Borland on the back end of this in the NFL. Mm-hmm. We've seen younger, mid-20s, young 20s guys walking away from the game because they're afraid of the long-term impact. We've seen study after study after study show how dangerous CTE is, which doesn't show up in everybody who gets their head knocked around in the game of football, but it is a real thing. We've seen – there's a movie coming out later this year starring Will Smith about the whole NFL concussion saga. So, like, it's top of mind all the time. And I think the counterpoint would be, well, they're doing everything they can to make sure it's as safe as it can be. And to that, I would say a couple years ago when I talked to Kevin Walter at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, he's sort of a concussion expert, he said what he sees is that youth level parents, youth level coaches, they're not even close to being prepared for identifying and treating and dealing with concussions. So I would think that barring a wide-scale change in education and preparedness and appreciation of the concussion situation, the best outlet is to say, let's let these kids play flag football for a while and then grow into the tackle football 7th and 8th grade.
And that's part of the Illinois lawsuit that's going on that I know you're reading out a lot about, which is involves a player who had concussions and is suing the Illinois High School Association not for money, but just to get new programs installed and new knowledge of it, which I think, again, I would have been angry had he been suing them for money of how dare you let me play the game that I signed up to play. But if he's trying to make real change, however the method, by a lawsuit, if he's trying to actually get it to change and get more education, because you're right about all the parents who have no idea, then I'm totally okay with that.
The issue in Illinois is schools are worried they're not going to have the funds to meet the demands of that lawsuit, and they wouldn't be able to afford, for example, an on-site official at every game who can deal with concussions, a medical person. And schools are worried they're going to have to stop offering football, and that's sort of the concern in Illinois, and maybe the broader impact is forcing schools, not just what's in the Illinois lawsuit, but we're going to get more technology with concussions, we're going to get more ways to avoid it, to treat it, and schools are going to be sort of pressured to adapt to that, and there's going to be a price tag to that. So you wonder, at some point, is it going to be too expensive for schools to do everything they can to ensure the safety of their kids? You know, at some point, we're going to have crazier helmets and different mouth guards and all this technology to prevent and identify it. It's going to be too much for some schools. And so now it gets into the territory of, well, is it an inalienable right to have football in schools? I mean, is it something that must be preserved at all costs? And there are certainly people who will say yes for any number of reasons, but if it's just truly this dangerous of a game to play, I mean, it kind of is like, it's like auto racing. You don't let kids auto race at the speeds that they race for obvious reasons. I mean, at some point, is football that dangerous? I don't know. Is it a true threat to the game of football at large? I do think it actually is. I think it's in the infant stages of being a real threat. But I think at some point, this could be a big deal.
I mean, if you have a bunch of kids who are growing up without it, or at least football as we know it.
Or they know it's super dangerous and don't want to play it.
Yeah, and they're going to be less inclined to watch it and buy jerseys and spend money on it, which is the true meaning of if something is in a decline, is if money isn't being spent on it.
That's true. So interesting times for football fans, of course.
We're getting started in 4 weeks.
I know. It's going to be crazy. We're already working on our football preview sections, and there have already been, I think, Travis Wilson at Wisports has already released his preseason teams to watch, or rankings, however you want to look at it at that stage of the season. But we are well on our way to football. What is it, like 40 days, something like that? Get ready, man. Get your camera ready.
It's a short season.
No,
I want my life back.
It lasts, like, what, 9 weeks, and then you're into the playoffs. It's over before it starts.
And then there's 5 more weeks.
And that's okay. Those are fun games.
And then there's more Badgers games, and then there's more Packers games.
Oh,
and
the life you lead.
We're already halfway into basketball season.
Speaking of basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks continue to be top of mind in the offseason. When was the last time we talked this much Bucks in a Bucks offseason? Between the Brewers being horrendous, the arena situation, and just the fact that they seem to be moving in the absolute right direction. Lots of Bucks talk, right?
There is, and I think probably after the Fear the Deer year, so like 6 years ago, it's probably the only time people have been this excited about
him. I agree with that.
But Monroe, that Monroe signing is big. Obviously, most of you know the story about how He chose Milwaukee over basically the same exact deal from the Lakers and the Knicks.
Yep.
Which will be probably the first time in history Milwaukee has won out over New York and Los Angeles.
In any sport, in any capacity.
So that's cool. I mean, it's, you know, I'm excited because you see what could be. You see how good Jabari could be. You see how good Giannis could be. Monroe is not a world beater by any means, but he's a very good player. You've seen flashes from Michael Carter-Williams, who I think will continue to get better this summer. I mean, he's already working out with Jason Kidd, who's kind of grooming him. I mean, there could be a lot of good things on the horizon for this team. May or may not be in Milwaukee, but there could be a lot of good things on the horizon for this team.
In theory, they now have a standout at every position. They've got Carter-Williams, yeah, as a good distributor. Greg Monroe is not going to be a shot blocker and defend, like, mm-hmm, superb interior defender. Mm-hmm. But he's big. He's 7 feet tall. He's going to be good enough. And then you've got, if you keep Henson, you still have a shot-blocking presence. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Zaza Pachulia is not a shot blocker and played very, yeah, good defense, so it's possible that he has an impact on that end of the floor. Great offensive player. Next to the basket, the man can make things happen. And now, in addition to having Giannis, who's sort of a multi-talented, can-do-everything kind of guy, multi-positional player, Jabari, who's kind of your shooter-slash-slasher threat, they have everything they need now to be a serious player. And quite honestly, I think the goal is going to be for this team to be the second-best team in the Eastern Conference, mm-hmm, behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think that's realistic.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Patrick, I don't know if he was joking or being serious, just more of having fun with it. He said that he expects the Bucks and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals
next
year. There was somebody else who said they could realistically be as good as the third-best team in the East. And then Vegas releases its odds today, and they have the 8th highest odds in the East to win.
Oh, jeez, so, Vegas, not a believer.
So predictions are all across the board.
Yeah.
And that was prediction 8th highest to win the East, too, not the whole thing.
That's barely in the playoffs.
Correct. You are the official last team in if you're the 8th best in the East. So predictions all over the board, because you never know what could happen. I mean, you could have injuries. You could have other teams with injuries. It means that they're a lot worse than you thought they would be. So there's a lot that can happen, but the bottom line is, like you said, we're talking about it, and we're excited, which is very, very new.
And an interesting approach that the new Bucks ownership has in their second sort of offseason here, they not only adding Greg Monroe to drum up a ton of interest, but they're kind of interesting. I kind of am torn on them. On the one hand, they're very weird about controlling the message, mm-hmm, and they're very protective of sort of every morsel of information, but look at the ways that they've gotten out there. They've gotten to Madison, and they're doing, like,
training camp and preseason game.
Yep, they did a massive reveal of the uniform thing, mm-hmm, and did like a party in Milwaukee that was pretty well attended. There's rumors of Jason Kidd going to take, mm-hmm, over the general managership, and what seems
still
to have been shot down.
Conference.
Yeah,
why
still waiting for
happen?
That. They did. They had a trade on draft day. I mean, they really have been active in every corner of the of promoting this team.
Yeah.
And right now, it's just it's fun, and that's kind of it's a great thing for the Bucks, who are trying to get this arena done. And mm-hmm, as we speak, the deliberations in the Senate going,
yeah,
on to get. Or in legislature to
How
get.
How much are you following, like, the actual votes and, like, the Senate?
I haven't been. Okay. I mean, to me, it's just, like, it's not that exciting to me real time. I mean, let me know how it goes at the end. And,
yeah,
and I'm sure there's so much with the budget, too.
Have you reached out to your senator yet?
I have not reached out,
okay,
to my senator yet.
Right.
Because, honestly, I'll be honest, and I wrote this, I tweeted this. Why do I want the Bucks to stay in Milwaukee? Because I like basketball and sports, and I like the,
yeah,
Bucks. I don't want the Bucks to leave because
that
I like having a team.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you think it's a sound fiscal decision.
I certainly don't think there's enough information to tell us whether it's a sound fiscal,
yeah,
decision. Certainly the numbers they tell us are,
yeah,
not the numbers I'm going to believe.
There's controlled messages from both sides.
Exactly.
Which is very, very frustrating.
I don't necessarily buy. I have a hard time comparing Milwaukee to other cities. I don't,
mm-hmm,
necessarily buy that it's going to dramatically alter the city of Milwaukee, either financially or sort of emotionally, however you want to,
yeah,
look at it. I get that losing a sports team is a big blow. I tried to compare it maybe to Seattle and Oklahoma City as a recent cities that have lost a pro sports basketball franchise and gained one. I don't know if they really compare. I mean, Seattle, I'm sure, feels like that area around Key Arena is now a disaster zone because there's nothing to do. There's no Sonics. But at the same time, there's tons still to do in Seattle.
Yes.
So it's not like they're in a, you know, they're bankrupt. And then in Oklahoma City, there was nothing that came before. So it's hard to compare. Milwaukee's just sort of an interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think Milwaukee's the same with or without the Bucks. But that's not to say, obviously, I want them to stay. I'm,
mm-hmm,
very excited about it. I'm not as fired up about the issue from a political standpoint. Merely from, I want to see the sports team stay in town.
Yeah, the politics are getting really annoying because I am following it basically with every tweet and,
yeah,
checking in on every senator and not calling, just checking to see what the reaction is from every senator and where they stand on it and when they're going to get the votes they need to actually take a vote on it. And it's frustrating to see the politics get in the way of it because, again, sure, you hear one set of numbers from the Bucks, you hear one set of numbers from the opponents, you hear other people chime in with different numbers, and it just gets annoying, especially when us and pretty much a lot of the people listening to this are just sports fans. We're not business right. executives. We don't know what, you know, bond interest means.
Yeah, it gets really muddy really fast when this starts talking.
Like bond interest on liens in 13 years not being able to repay. It's like,
I have no idea what you just said.
Wait,
did you speak English just now?
So
I should know that stuff. It's embarrassing, really, that I don't, because it's all stuff that is should be, I don't know what you want to call it, tangible for the common person. It just isn't. I'm just not good at that stuff. The numbers get muddy in my head. And
so we'll see. It sounds like next week is when they might finally put it on the floor and get to a vote. They're close. They have they basically need about four more votes. They need four more senators to either come out in favor or switch from no. So it's possible.
All right. Well, when you're not calling your senator or following your senators on Twitter, whatever it may be, you are golfing.
Yes.
We've spent far too much time, an unbelievable, unnecessary amount of time talking about your golf game.
Well, don't talk about my golf game.
Let's talk
then.
About it just a little bit more, because you did get to golf Whistling Straits.
I did.
And now you've golfed Erin Hills. You golfed Erin Hills prior to golfing Whistling Straits.
This job isn't cushy enough. No, I need to be able to play golf.
Super, super easy.
Free.
Why don't I get invited to these
I
things?
Don't
by
know.
The way, I'm not like a big deal in the media, but I'm certainly just as big a deal as you.
How about this? You can go run 40-yard dashes on Arrowhead's turf. That's what you have.
I feel like I lose here.
Equity built up.
I feel like I lose here. Am I wrong?
Would you puke at the end of a 40-yard dash? Would you?
It depends, I guess. Is it,
I'm taking that as a yes.
Probably. I don't know. Probably. So I wanted to get a little compare contrast.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool that we have two courses that are unbelievably world quality, world championship quality, within an hour's drive of Milwaukee. It is awesome. Erin Hills is so out in the middle of nowhere and wide open. I would say that you forget about everything around you, but there's nothing else around you. Whereas when you're at Whistling Straits, it's just north of Sheboygan, and that's the same thing. You travel back off the road a little bit, and you have, I mean, almost every hole has a view of Lake Michigan. And it just, and as you know, I mean, Lake Michigan is one of the bigger ones where it feels like an ocean sometimes because you can't see the other side. So when you're sitting there, you're golfing, and you see 15 sheep roaming the property, and you see
that's awesome.
Lake Michigan. I mean, it's awesome. You really forget that you're in Wisconsin.
Whistling Straits, of course, could be the home to a very, very big golf tournament in the PGA Championship. If Jordan Spieth wins the British Open coming up soon,
cool.
He'll be going for the Grand Slam, something that's never been done before, and he'll be doing it on Wisconsin soil, so that's pretty cool. Do they have it set up so that it's probably not quite as tough as it'll be for the PGA pros?
No. They're going to try and get it more firm, which basically means harder. It means you have less control over all your shots. Which I didn't have any control, so that doesn't make a difference to me. it's a phenomenal piece of property. It's really cool that when we were there, all the corporate chalets and the bleachers are all being put up. So I'd been there.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'd been there a month or so ago just to check up and see what's going on, and it looks totally different because there's tents that can accommodate 5,000 people along the ninth green. I mean, it's really, really along the ninth fairway. So really awesome. I am so excited to watch. Like, I normally don't watch any golf tournament that's not a major. Probably don't watch.
Right.
And even a major, I probably only watch Saturday and Sunday. This one, I have a feeling if I'm not there, I'm going to watch start to finish.
Sure,
just to see the holes that I've played and to see if I know anybody in the crowd and and just to see, like, Michigan and how it looks.
The famous people that you know in the crowd.
Bingo.
Very good.
That's about it.
That's about it. Yeah, we don't have a lot going on otherwise. What about on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel 32? Tell me all of the good things I'll find on Sports Weekly.
What isn't going on?
Well, the Brewers are certainly going on.
Correct.
And we haven't talked about them for a while for good
for
reason.
For good reason. Yeah.
They did win 8 in a row.
This week was a best of show, so some of our favorite stories from the past 6 months.
Oh, that's cool.
But now this week we actually will be having some Brewers talk on there, just to see where they're at as they head into the All-Star break. Today was the last home games, so
okay.
Their reaction to that, and I don't know, little Packers teaser before training camp starts in 3 weeks. By the way, less than 3 weeks.
Football is practically here,
so 3 weeks from tomorrow. I think
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah, and yourself?
Well, we talked about the article about youth football. Also, speaking of golf, Lac La Belle Golf Club is coming back to Oconomowoc. It had been named
Lake the Bell, by the way.
Very good use of French there. It's Fantastic. It had been rolling hills for the last several years. It's about to get new ownership. Should be Monday the 13th. Should be the day that that becomes official, and then it goes back to Lac La Belle. I know a lot of people in Oconomowoc are excited about that. So lots going on in Oconomowoc this week for whatever reason.
Yes, sir.
We also released our All-Suburban Softball team in the Now newspaper, so you'll find that Thursday. Oddly enough, you're not the first person to ask me that question, nor are you the first completely unqualified person to ask me that question.
What? Unqualified? You're unqualified. I played T-ball.
All of your statistics are invalid.
I quit after coach's pitch because I couldn't hit it.
Yeah.
How is that bad?
That does not surprise me. Yeah. So you went to hockey where you were bouncing off players instead.
Yes, I was.
Very good. Very good. And, of course, the Summer Baseball State Tournament begins July 14th. That's Tuesday. It's a very short tournament.
Yep.
You get basically a 10-day window between the start and the end of the tournament. On the 14th, these teams won't be playing, but there will be some one seeds from our area. Plymouth from outside our area, and then West Bend West is a one seed. Oak Creek and Waukesha West, basically a who's who of great summer baseball programs, are once again
who's who?
How about West Bend West, Oak Creek, and Waukesha West?
Who?
Some of the best. And so they'll be playing on the 17th that Friday, and then sectionals the following Monday, and we've got the state tournament Friday in Mequon at Capco Field. It's going to be a nice, quick, breezy tournament, and then boom, officially football season. Yeah, I know.
Sorry,
you're excited.
I keep reacting that way. I don't mean to, but
it's like a Pavlovian trigger for you. Is. Football season. Ugh.
All right.
Well, it was good chatting with you on my front porch. Thanks for visiting.
Yeah, you'll have to come on over to my house next time.
Yes, you live in Whitefish Bay. Much windier, is my understanding.
Not always.
I guess it depends where you live.
All right, thanks for sticking it through, everybody. Appreciate it.
Indeed. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Bye.